Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you are listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Deep House is the order of the day, highlighted by my interview with German producer DJ Linus. That is up shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. For this one, let's head over to the UK for a new one on Jack's House label. This is Jack London with Bad Decisions. Enjoy!
I'm making bad decisions.
Nice deep cut there, Jack London with Bad Decisions. That's out now on Jack's House, and that can be had at all your favorite online retailers. On to the feature for tonight's episode. This initially started out as one of my EP preview episodes, as DJ Linus recently dropped his Down to the Ground EP on Nordic Tracks, but he gave me so much in the interview and I liked his sound so much that it's a 3-track EP preview to go along with an 8-track look back at his body of work. We'll kick off with the 3 new EP tracks. First one is called It's All Good. Full track listing along with a collection of DJ Linus web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Here is the first part of the interview. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Munich-based producer DJ Linus. He's been producing and DJing for over 30 years, has been a resident at Pacha Munich for the past 16, and has also had gigs at Fabric, Cocoon, as well as Ministry of Sound. Additionally, he teaches production and DJing at Vibra in Germany. He's just dropped the Down to the Ground EP on Vancouver's Nordic Tracks. It's a 4-tracker featuring a few deep ones, some nice vocal samples, some amazing bass lines, and a synth bomb titled Bavarian Stomper. He's kindly agreed to share his thoughts on how the EP came together. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is DJ Linus. So to begin with, how do you define your sound?
I'm not sure, actually. I think it's house because I started way back in the 80s and it was house in the beginning. And there was techno and you had trance and hip hop and that's it. You know, there were not so many different genres like today. You have so many. If you go to Beatport, you have, I don't know, 5 or 6 genres where you have the word house in it. So for me, it's house music. That's what I've been doing all my life, and I think it will be always house music.
Your Down to the Ground EP drops on May 27th. What was your approach for putting all of that together?
It's a good question. Let me think. Bavarian Stomper is quite old. It's like I did it within the pandemic phase. And I was just fiddling around with sounds, and there were some sound packs, and I was just putting together, and all of a sudden it was like a quick afternoon. I think it took me 4 hours for the track. It was just playing around, and after a while I did Down to the Ground, and Down to the Ground was, I had this organ sample which reminded me like the old school house, and the voice I did, it was for me just also like a feeling, deep house, how could it be today with a bit more bass and more upfront or more kicking. That was the idea behind that. And the other two, the how's it called, my track feels all right and feels good, huh? The other two and the dub was just actually mainly a sample pack. I also admit I just take sample packs and I see what I come up with, you know. That's another approach which I didn't mention. And it's not a sample pack actually, it's noise. Noise is also something like Loop Cloud or Loop Masters. You can get all those sample packs and you can have a subscription. And they made a great offer, and I could have everything just for $50. And I was going, wow, cool, yeah, let's see what they have. And all of a sudden, two tracks were finished. And also within 1 day, I think I finished everything. Yeah, and in the last 2 years, I did, I don't know how many tracks I did, maybe 50 or more. A lot of new stuff will be released soon as well. Those four tracks, I just felt would fit to Nordic Tracks. That's why I chose them. I sent it to Luke, and I was very happy that he said, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
To the ground, 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 to the
how did you initially make a connection with Nordic Tracks?
Well, actually, I'm a big fan of Nordic Tracks. I have a lot of records. They are already, I think, 25 years or longer. I don't know how long they are around. Definitely starting in the 90s, I would say. I know John Delirious, and I know Matt Cain. And I think I asked those two guys, one of those two guys, I asked if they could submit me the contact, and it was Luke. I would like to submit some demos. I think that was, it's a bit ago, but I think that was how I made connection. And I just think it's a great house label, and they do just a great job, you know, not only just releasing it, also promotion, interviews, and you get a feature DJ Mag, and they work with agencies. So it's a real good deal just for me as an artist, because I won't make money with those tracks, you know, that time is gone. But it's very good for my reputation, and they really work. And that's what I love so much about the Nordic Tracks philosophy.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
This is Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. The station is 101.9 CITR in Vancouver, and that was part one of the DJ Linus interview, showing off his latest release on Nordic Tracks, the Down to the Ground EP. Part 2 is a broader look back at his body of work with tracks spanning 30 years. First one up is L Man's Groove, kicking things off. Full track listing along with a collection of DJ Linus web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. On to Part 2. Okay, thinking about musical production here, when you're making tracks, who do you draw your influence from?
Yeah, that's also a good question, because I'm doing this for over 35 years now, and I released my first record in 1991. And I think my influences or impacts at that time was different, because I was exploring sounds, you know, and buying records and listening to Frankie Knuckles or Larry Levan and that stuff. And that was inspiring, or salsa records or disco stuff. Or I can remember when Crystal Waters Gypsy Woman came out, it was just, you know, it was just a blessing. It wasn't completely new, so that wasn't a big impact. But nowadays, I only have those ideas in my head. I sometimes also listen to old house records when I go through my collection at home. And I discover old stuff I've completely forgot about it, and I think, wow, that music 20 years ago, it was just, you know, wow. And that sometimes inspires me. I think, yeah, let's do something like that, like with the nowadays, with, I call it speed house, you know, that 130 BPM stuff they are playing at the moment. And all of a sudden you have that organ sounds back from the Korg M1, you know, the typical organ sound, like Robin S, Show Me Love, you know, and everybody's now using that again. So it comes back. And for me, it's like the same idea. I hear something and then I'm sampling records as well. So I did for Nick Fanciulli something, and he was completely freaking out because I was only using stuff I sampled from records. And he told me, wow, yeah, that's how we used to do it back in the days. I said, yeah, that's I'm not a musician, I'm DJ Linus. So I get inspired by records and I steal stuff from records. I mean, not stealing if you take disco cuts, it's just stealing with beats you lay under it, you know. So, but also sometimes I sit in my studio and I play around with synths or with new ideas. I see a tutorial, especially with Ableton Tips. They sometimes come up with stuff. I go like, wow, really, is this possible? And then I play around with those techniques, and all of a sudden a track evolves. So I have both, I think, or three inspirations how I do tracks.
Yeah.
okay, what's the deep house club scene like in Munich and the rest of Germany? And what sort of places do you get a chance to showcase your music?
Well, mainly I play nowadays Munich. The big times of traveling for me personally are a bit gone because you need a big agency or management, which I don't have, but that's completely okay for me. So I only can say or only can have experience regarding Munich. And Munich, I think, has one of the best scenes there is. I mean, comparing with other cities, which I have played a lot back in the 2000 years or 90s or even in the last past years before Corona, I was traveling. And I always was happy to come back to Munich. It's very diverse, a big variety of clubs, deep house, all kinds of house, a lot of new artists, promoters, and it's very vivid, the scene here in Munich. And also it fits to the city. It's such a nice city, very green, and it's not industrial. It feels like a big village, like a super big village, you know, like 2 million big village, but it doesn't feel like a big, not like London or Paris, you know. I was yesterday afternoon, it's called Wander Circus. It's a circus tent, and it's like a big fest, like a small intimate festival just for one afternoon. And there I heard completely new deep house music from young guys from Berlin. And I was very positively flashed that again, within some month, there is a new development. I hear old stuff, like they really like 90s stuff. Then I hear one of my own records, some DJs who play vinyl. And then I hear completely new visions of DJs. So everything is possible in Munich, I would say.
Okay, why do you think house and techno has been able to thrive for as long as it has in Germany? It seems like the music has remained consistently true to its roots. And what do you think makes it possible for that?
I don't know actually the translation for it to English. Zivilgesellschaft. It's in German, that means something like you have the government and you have the people who form a community. And if this community would organize and if it's open-minded and if you have a lot of different influences and cultural diversity, I think it reflects on all parts of life. And also Berlin, if you take Berlin with Bergheim, I can't imagine that this could be able anywhere else in the world, because Berlin, the city, by the government there, like the mayor or the party who runs the mayor house, they are very open-minded. They like culture, they like techno, they like house, you know, they are not working against it. They are pushing it, and they make opportunities together with art, with museums, and everything is possible. Of course, there's also commercial. I was on Saturday in one of the biggest, no, Friday, I was one of, in the biggest EDM clubs here in south of Germany, and it was amazing, that energy. And I also liked that it was hard style and really hard techno and stuff, and EDM and those bodybuilder EDM DJs who make a lot of show with their arms, you know, like a choreography, you know, and with their microphones. But I think that's completely okay, because we have everything. Like also Munich, you can go just by bike several hundred meters and all of a sudden you are in a club or in an area of clubs, and you think you are in another city, or in Berlin, or you could be in San Francisco. And this is only possible because the cultural movement or the community in general in Germany is very, very diverse, and the politics are supporting this scene and are not working against it. The people or the young people or the promoters and the clubs are so vivid, and they want to work together and not against each other. So all of a sudden projects pop up and they make a lot of new connections, and all of a sudden EDM guy is working with the deep house guy, and they think, hey, let's make a rooftop party and we play drum and bass, you know. It's like just doing some stuff, just doing art, just doing music. Just in Germany you have a lot of makers, so to speak. If it's underground or overground, doesn't matter. I also think our cultural history, like with musicians, with writers and all that, is very big in Germany.
Okay, let's rewind the clock here a little bit. 30 years or so back in time when you first started hearing this music, what is it that made you want to get in there, start producing it for yourself and performing it as well?
The first time I heard house, it was mid of the 80s. Yeah, mid end of the 80s. First house records came out. Beginning of the 90s, for me, it was the most important phase of house music, like between 90 and 93. And I heard those records and it was just a feeling. It was just, yeah, that's the soul, that's the groove, that's the swing, that's the organ, that's the lately bass, that very famous bass sound from the Yamaha sound module. And I heard that and I knew, you know, if you see a color or if you eat something or you drink a drink and you say, yeah, that's it. No, that's perfect. That's me. And that was actually my first feeling, or my first feeling when I was playing a Ministry of Sound. It was beginning of the 90s. I played with Tony Humphries or Frankie Knuckles. I can't remember. But I thought the bass was already in. I was on the dance floor, I was listening what they were doing. But it was not. It was cutted with the rotary switch, you know, with a rotary kill knob. And then he pushed in and there was that piano and that groove. And it was only about 120 BPM. And I was dying in this room. You know, it was like, wow, you know, that's it. And it's not like techno. It's just that soulful that makes you, that makes you smile and you love everybody in that moment.
Okay, can you think of a moment when you realized that this was no longer just a passion or an interest and it was a legitimate career and you were going to make a living from it?
Actually, it was always like a punk attitude for me. I never thought too much about things I was doing. I just felt it was right. And I gave me a couple of years to make money. I was studying in physics, but I didn't really enjoy studying physics too much. And I was getting quite famous with the clubs in Munich and also the agency I was working at that time. And I just said, okay, let's try it. You know, let's see what happens if I was young. If it's not working in the next 3, 4, 5 years, I go back studying. And that's actually turned out to be my business or my job in the end. And I think that was maybe like an indirect decision I was making, that I just tried my best, and if it works out, I make money, I stick to it, and if not, I need to look for something else. But I'm still fortunate in the position I'm living off this now since 30 years, more than 30 years. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Okay, when you're making tracks, which DAW do you like to work with and why?
Actually, I work almost with every DAW already because I started in the 90s, at the beginning of the 90s, and you only had like two DAWs mainly, or in Europe or in Germany, it was like Logic and Steinberg, Cubase, with those. Now, as I'm working as a lecturer for music production, I switched to Ableton because that's what people or students are asking for. And I think it's like a universe, sound design or Max for Life, which is part of Ableton. There's nothing like it. And Ableton for me is like, there are no boundaries, there are no limits. If you can do everything with this, it's like an instrument actually. That's why it's called Ableton Live. I mean, that's the background. They did it for live performing electronic music. That was actually the purpose of Ableton Live. And now it's just, wow, you know, I mean, that's what I work with.
Okay, and then within Ableton, are you generally using their stock plugins or do you like to use external VSTs and possibly hardware as well?
I prefer VST plugins from third-party companies over the stock plugins.
Okay.
Just because I like to have a good GUI, you know, just a good interface, a graphic interface of whatever. And I want to be able to quickly navigate. And sometimes you have little boxes you have to switch, and there have you make whatever, you know, to within the Ableton stock plugins. They're sometimes quite cryptic and all that. And sometimes I also think they are not so sound-wise quality as high as third-party plugins. Maybe I'm not correct, but sometimes I have the feeling the result is better when I use other plugins, but that's only my personal taste. And my philosophy is I want to finish tracks fast. And everything that makes that possible is for me the right decision.
Okay, when you first got into production, was there some aspect of that that you found particularly challenging? And can you think of how you got over that?
For me, it was punk. I just took everything there was and I made music, you know. I didn't think too much. I was also fortunate to work in the studio where Donna Summer, I Feel Love was recorded. And also all the records of Pointer Sisters and all that. The sound engineer there was really, really great. And he produced and mixed for me the my only long player, so to speak. And it was never for me, actually it's a good question, because nothing was challenging for me because I just did it. I just had that in my mind, and I took records and I went to the studio and I said, hey, that's my vision, come, let's do it, let's translate it, yeah, onto ADAT. Yeah, no, there was nothing challenging. I think nowadays it's much more challenging because of all those tutorials. They say, you have to think about the key and the kick and the kick and the key, and then you have your strings, and if that's not working, and then you have to know which chords, and don't do this, don't do that, because yeah, we are music theory. I never thought about that. It's of course very interesting, and if you can do that, and if you're capable of doing that, wow, yeah, cool, but I just don't care.
This has been DJ Linus. A selection of DJ Linus tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Juno Download, TrackSource, and Bandcamp. Additionally, a full list of DJ Linus web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Remember to check out his Down to the Ground EP out now on Nordic Tracks. And thanks a lot for doing this.
transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
I call it transcendence.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to DJ Linus for agreeing to interview. I'd encourage you to head on over to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page to find out more about his latest release, the track listing, and to look through a selection of DJ Linus' web links. A lot of good tracks there if you like it deep, and that's definitely worth a peek. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, head on over to the Techno Progressivo show pages at citr.ca or Apple Podcasts to listen to this one again or more great interviews and guest mixes from days gone by. You can also keep up to date with the show by following our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter pages. Attic Jams is up next. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. Let's hop back 12 years in time to 2010 for one from UK duo Pussy. This is Methane Lakes. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.